This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the conversation on the Frankel and Frankly Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube from the 903, I'd like to give a shout out to my wife's attractive friend for giving me very friendly hugs. Now, believe it or not, I was in a conversation about men and women hugging yesterday. So one of Jess's friends hugged another fella, like full on, and then patted him on the back.
This wasn't like a crotch first hug,
no,
was it? Right?
No. At which point, he said, you shouldn't tap a man on the back when you're hugging them, because that means like the hug is over and you're like being friend zoned. And I said, what? That only feels like the case if like you've been crying on each other's shoulders for like 30 seconds or something, not in a regular hug. So I just wanted to get in a tiny bit of hug talk before we get back into keeping or losing these Cowboys players.
All right. So with most men, the hug comes from, it starts as the handshake, but it's not necessarily, it's the grip, you know,
yeah.
And you pull a man to hug. So it's a one-armed hug most of the time. And usually it is a man. It's so good to see you. It's been a while. We should see each other more often. Pat, pat.
Yeah.
Step back. Let's take shots together. Like usually that's how that rolls. But I think there are also like the closest friends you have, not maybe not you, Kevin, but the closest friends you have that you're just like you hug because y'all have known each other your whole lives and it's just like family. And so I have a group like that that we're, you know, we hug like we would hug our kids, you know, just like that. So,
and I get that. That's just not me.
With women?
Yeah.
Here's the, like, this is different.
Oh.
I don't like hugging other women.
Oh.
Because I like to hug my wife, and the way I hug my wife is very intimate and sensual. I hug my wife with love, and I feel like if I get another woman in a hug like that, I'm going to not know, like my instincts are just going to kick in and be like, just do what you always do. And I'm going to hug another woman as the way I would hug my wife. And then she's going to be like, oh, we have to have dinner. And we have to go out and do things, and I don't want to give her that. You know, I don't want her thinking.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't want her thinking that way. Or I also don't want her thinking, hey, I'm being an oogie guy coming on to you. I don't want that. So I just side hug most women.
Okay.
I side hug. And here's a line that I did learn recently. If you guys want to try this out, it's a little progressive. So I know there are a lot of people out there that are against stuff like that. But if you see a woman and she starts kind of stepping away,
politics,
ask her this question. Say, hey, are you shy or are you just setting boundaries? And just see how she responds to that, because I think the setting boundaries thing might make her lose her mind. I'm just saying.
Oh.
She'd be like, this man right here, this is the kind of guy. So yeah, when it comes to hugs are fine. Just side hug a woman.
Man. I appreciate the level of breakdown that you gave on that. What just happened with Corey and the hug discussion, that's the level of breakdown I want to get into in like every single thing in the world. We just don't always have time for it.
Oh, it was so intellectual.
Yeah, because of things like the ghost of Tom Landry and the other ghosts.
Yeah, look, much like Luca last night, I just didn't have time.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Don't forget, it's only the fourth game and he's already not playing. We'll get into that a little bit later. All right. So I was reading this article on Blogging the Boys, and I decided to add to it just a little bit and tweak it just a little bit, but it was really fascinating. So if you get the opportunity, bloggingtheboys.com, I believe the article came out maybe 2 days ago from Brian Martin, and essentially part of it was 3 to keep, 2 to drop for the Cowboys. And I went ahead and added a third because I really need to even it out because you know how I am. All right, players to re-sign. Oso Digizua, the Pro Football Focus contract projection, 4 years, $21.25 million per year, which is a total of $85 million with $42.5 million guaranteed. That's too much for me.
And like, that's just the going rate? Like that, like
sure.
That,
and this is a weak free agency class.
Can't work out a
class.
Better deal.
This is a weak free agency class, and I get it. I know Wolchuk yesterday said more in like the 15 to 18 range, maybe 18. He would feel good about it. Even that, I think, is too high. Above 15, it's not for me. But I understand other people might feel differently.
I love Osa. I think he's just a wonderful player, and he's the kind of beast that Mike is asking for to be in front of the linebackers.
For sure.
He's like, that's the kind of dude that you want on your defensive line. And you had him for relatively cheap for 4 years.
Yeah.
You need to be, if you're going to say we got to move on, you better replace him with something just as good, something just as talented. So if that's the way that it's going to be, then like, that's the way that I would approach it, is I need to make sure I have that in line already and ready to go.
Next one for you, Jordan Lewis. All right. I could not get this deal signed fast enough. So I want to warn you, I don't think this is the deal that's going to be on the table.
Okay.
Spotrac, I like Spotrac a lot, projects 2 years, $4.5 million total for Jordan Lewis at a robust price of $2.25 million per year. Again, Alec, I hope you don't think I'm speaking out of turn. I could not get that contract signed fast enough.
Signed it yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the going rate for him, especially with the salary cap being higher than we expected going into this season, that's a steal.
Yes.
For a guy that's already been here, he knows how to deal with the ebbs and flows of the Cowboys, just country, if you will, how to operate within the walls of the Star in Frisco. Like, and he showed a different side of himself last season. If you're going to get that same mentality and that same leadership for just over $2 million per season, sign me up.
Yeah.
What if I told you it was more like four per?
That's fine.
Still?
I think so, too.
Now, that being said, you are kind of stacked at cornerback. Like, you do have a lot of cornerbacks in a lot of different areas, and he is your nickel cornerback that you're going to be working with. So, understanding that you're kind of stacked there, do you need the position? I think you need the leadership on this team.
I could see that.
And, Kevin, you know how long I've loved the way that this guy plays. He's an example of how to play the game. And so, if you're trying to set an example, then you want him on the field for you. That's what you're wanting to use.
Now, one more in the keep category, and then we can start saving some money. DeMarcus Lawrence. Now, DeMarcus Lawrence is probably the most fascinating player on this list, because I think we all agree Osa will be towards the high end. Jordan Lewis could be towards the middle to low end. But what to make about DeMarcus Lawrence, who for a lot of his career has been a high end, money-wise type player. Pro Football Focus, 2 years, $15 million total, so $7.5 million per year and $8 million guaranteed.
Seems relatively cheap for the position.
And especially at the guaranteed money. I know he's coming off an injury, but essentially to me, guys, this sounds like a one-year, $5 to $6 million contract with you have the possibility of eating $2 to $3 million in money if you move on from after the first year. That's
okay.
My guess about how the breakdown will look.
I listen, when it comes to that player specifically, the production has never necessarily for me met that value.
Sure.
But I always thought I have a player that everybody else wants. Everybody else would want around the league, in that he is good at a lot of different things that you don't see.
He is.
Now, can I find a younger player to do that at a cheaper rate? And sure, that helps me find other ways, then yes, I'm willing to move on from him. But I'd be perfectly happy if they bring him back.
You know, you just brought up a fascinating idea we might have to talk about more next week is we, I think you and I, correct me if I'm wrong, are in different places with the Cowboys in terms of we're willing to make 2025 a gap year.
Okay.
Where you kind of get your crap in order and you can backpack around Europe a little bit.
If they're willing to do it too. Cap.
But I don't think they are.
They usually aren't.
And so that's why I think some of these deals might get made. All right, three to move on from. Donovan Wilson. So Donovan Wilson, if you want to move on from him, you can get $5.3 million of cap relief. Or if you designate him as a post-June 1st cut, which the Cowboys love to do, you would save $7 million and then still have a little bit more on the back end that you got to pay in 2026.
He's very expensive, and he's, for me, kind of a one-trick pony in that he hits really hard.
Yeah.
And other than that, I'm like, what else? Like, there are probably a lot of other things, but he is a playmaker. It's just there are a lot of other times where I've seen him on tape spinning around trying to figure out where he was supposed to be.
Sure.
And so maybe there was an overspend from the Cowboys initially on that, but I'm not necessarily like I have to have him back. So okay, this offseason, I'm trying to fill that void.
This next one I think is going to happen. Damone Clark, you move on from...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Damone Clark, you save about $3 million. The dead money is very minimal. It's like $70,000.
I think you don't have a lot of linebackers, but
that is true.
Mike Zimmer didn't seem to like this specific player, this particular guy. And I don't know if it was size or talent level. I don't know exactly what it was. Maybe he just didn't fit in the role, but he did a nice role for you his rookie season. So I'm perfectly happy bringing the player back and continuing to work with him and grow him as long as Eberflus says, because Eberflus was our linebackers coach whenever he was here. Now, as defensive coordinator, I'm like, hey, I'm all about whatever Eberflus is going to throw out there.
Okay.
I think Eberflus is really good, by the way.
Last one I have for you today, and I know this is a jarring question to ask considering we just saw Zach Martin retire. I'm just going to go ahead and wipe out the entire right side of your offensive line. Terrence Steele. Now, let me tell you the particulars of how this would look. If you post June 1st cut Terrence Steele, and by the way, if you're looking for like a shorthand of why people say post June 1st, pre June 1st. Essentially, if you post June 1st that player, you can cut their dead money in half in terms of half of it will go on for this season and half of it will go on for next season. Whereas if you pre June 1st it, you'll take the entire hit right now. A lot of teams, obviously, for reasons you can imagine, don't like to do that. If you post June 1st cut Terrence Steele, you'd save about $11.5 million. You would not have him as a player anymore. B, and you would have another $6.75 million hit on him coming up in 2026 when I already laid out that you're going to have a hefty number probably for Zach Martin in 26 as well.
Alec, which version of Steele do you think you're getting? Because we've seen good or bad, good, bad. And that's all I've seen out of him.
He was better towards the end of last season, but I don't know if I can bank on that. And it almost seems like the time off for training camp and everything is a bad thing for him.
Yeah.
He's a guy that just needs to keep playing to stay ramped up. I think you're going to get average. I don't think you're going to get guy on a long-term contract play. I think you're going to get an okay right tackle. He's not going to be good. He's not going to be bad.
That's a weird place to be. Whenever you lose a Zach Martin and now Tyler Smith taking over your offensive line.
And just something I want people to consider, because I know when you hear cut Terrence Steele, you save $11.5 million. I hear you on that. But don't forget, that means in 2026, if the Cowboys do this the way I think they're going to, you will be paying Zach Martin you won't actually be paying them anything. But your salary cap charge for Zach Martin and Terrence Steele in 2026, 2 years removed from them playing for you, would be $26 million.
That's a lot.
And you have nowhere to push that money.
Well, then keep the player around and try and use that money somehow.
Okay.
And that's what I'll figure out.
We're the KNC Mash.
I just trust you to do it. Figure out the money for me.
And the reason I wanted to throw this out there, and maybe we'll dive into this another time, like really dive into the post-June 1st cut. People get caught up in forgetting about where the rest of that money goes. Because on the one hand, it seems like a no-brainer. All right, Alec, would you like a dead cap charge of $13.5 million or $6.75 million? And you're like, what? Of course I want $6.75 million. But then we forget that other $6.75 million doesn't just go away. It pushes on down to the next year. And then the next year, you're like, what the crap in hell is this? It's like if your nighttime version of yourself ever screws over your daytime version of yourself. You have to wake up at 6:30 and you're like, oh my God, I'm so freaking tired. And then you're like, stupid nighttime, Kevin, you screwed me over. Cause you're like, I have to watch everything about this hockey game and the post game and the blah, blah, blah. So you get it.
My Audi's out there going partying all the time and I have to come into work.
It is very Severance-esque. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day. Plus, we're going to hear from the man that got a free car yesterday from Juan Soto next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Just want to clean this up real quick. A lot of questions come in about Dak Prescott's contract. Essentially, you can't do anything with it for 2 years without just like wiping out almost half to then in a year, about a third of your salary cap. So nothing's going to happen there throughout the 2025 and 2026 season. Before the 2027 season, you still take a massive hit. But I think then at least you can have that conversation. So whether you love Dak, whether you don't, and anywhere in between, he's not going anywhere for the next 2 years. And it's probably more the next 3 years. Now, a man we also hope will not be going anywhere for years and years. But we have a tough track record with her producers. It's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. Welcome back, Corey. It's good to see you.
Thanks, man.
Somewhat alive.
Yeah, somewhat. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think you've turned your mic off more yourself in the first hour and 25 minutes of the show than you usually do in a week.
Yeah.
So I can tell you're going through it, man.
Would you have been annoyed at Corey if we didn't do AM on the FM today? Because we did AM on the FM every other day where Corey was not here. But then if Corey swooped back in and it was gone, would you have held ill will towards him?
I would have had to take the mic approach of just saying he hates me.
No.
You know, and then that's when I would have told him, you know what, Corey, I thought about calling in this morning because I didn't want to work with you, you know, and just keep that going and see how long we can kind of stretch out this whole theory that the whole show hates each other.
Oh, man.
And then G-Bag will call us the toxic show.
Yeah. I know. I was going to say, like, we're not the morning show.
Kevin and I are smart. All right. Here's how we've been able to have this kind of relationship all this time. We don't hang out outside of work. That way, whenever we get to work, we're happy with each other and we don't have any other crap that we're like, I hate you because of that. So that's what happens.
I haven't seen you in 2 days.
Is that why we got in a fight when we went to training camp?
Yeah, because we spent too much time together.
Fascinating.
And that was the only fight. Aside from that other one.
I was really going to push to be at training camp this year with the bosses, but if we're going to hate each other afterwards.
Hey, not necessarily, because there was one time out right outside the door to our studio where I thought it was possible Corey was going to punch me in the face. And so that I understand what happened, how things could have been handled differently.
How calm was I, though?
You were very calm.
Very calm, and we came back and did a great show.
See, and Alec, it was kind of, I know this doesn't go with the question of the day. I apologize for infringing on your time.
I'll go for it.
It was kind of unsettling how calm he was.
Huh.
Because that's what made me think he might actually punch me, because I feel like it would be like, yeah, and now this is happening. Wow. But like, it didn't, but I thought it might.
That kind of makes sense, though, because when I get furious, I go mute. Like, I just go quiet. I internalize everything, which may or may not be healthy. I don't know.
It's not.
But, like, yeah, you can tell when I'm, like, just absolutely flustered and frustrated beyond belief, I won't speak. Yeah. I just won't say a word. So that's how my friends know, all right, lay off the gas a little bit, because he might punch somebody like Corey almost did. But the question of the day today, 877-881-1053, Frankel, Injury Attorneys text line. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. It's the question of the day that we kind of thought up with on the fly yesterday with Woolchuck.
Oh, yeah.
What is the moment you realized your athletic career was over? Because for me, I started thinking, and of course, you know, I'm convinced the phone listens to everything you say nowadays. I started getting a lot of like track tweets on my feed again on Twitter yesterday. So I was like, yeah, I definitely need to talk about this. The answer for me, I believe it was 2019, maybe around this time. Yeah, probably around this time, because we were ramping up for track season and everything, maybe like January-ish. I remember it was freezing cold, just like it was now. My buddy Quentin says, hey, we need to get some work in because we're on the relay team, right? We need to get that handoff nice and crispy. And he was like, I'm going to invite a friend just so we have a third person to work with on these handoffs and on these exchanges. He was the anchor leg, so he was the most important. We needed to make sure his handoff was great. And I was like, okay, cool. I thought it was just going to be one of our teammates or somebody else. It was his friend named Jill, who went on to, I believe, long jump in the Olympics this past go around. And I was telling Kevin and Zach this yesterday. She was never a sprinter, never was, just a jumper. But the way she absolutely dusted us in any of the warmups we did, everything just seemed so easy. And she was not a sprinter. And we were sprinters. Quentin won a state championship as a sprinter. And the way she was clearing us, granted, we were still in off-season form, you know, kind of like Luca comes into training camp out of shape every year. It's like, that's how I was especially. Like, I needed a few weeks to get ready. And I was like, okay, this is my last year ever running. Like, college is not in the picture. Like, if I'm going against this just in a friendly manner, that is not happening for me. So that was the day I realized this will be my last season competitively running.
This is interesting, because there are still times when I'm like, not necessarily competitively, but I'm like, I could get out there and do it. Hmm. And then we got out there during training camp and ran around on the field, and I was sore for 3 days after.
Humbling.
And I thought I could track down Carter Freeman, but he's like a gazelle. All right, he just takes off on you. So he'd cut on me, and I was like, I got this. And then he had distance. So maybe that was the moment there. Could have been the moment where my son got me in a headlock, and I got out of it. But I was like, dadgummit, he's stronger than I thought. Like, that's one of those moments right there. I can tell you, though, there was a definitive moment for my dad. And I don't know exactly what he might have been around my age now. But we were playing softball on a softball team. And my dad, my whole life, was an awesome outfielder. Like, my whole life. He was on super competitive softball teams. And I'd go everywhere. And I'd play baseball on the sideline while they were out there playing. And it was just, I knew we needed an outfielder one night, though. Me and my friends got a team together, and we needed an outfielder. I said, Dad, can you come in and play left field for us? It's not going to be too tough. And he said, yeah, I got this. And he runs in on a foul ball. He's running in on it, and he lost it in the lights, and that sucker hit him in the nose. Now, he'd already broken his nose three times in his life, so when it broke his nose, he's like, I'm used to this. But it broke his, like, on a bed frame, all sorts of stuff. He's just pouring blood out of his face. And he takes this towel and he puts it on his face and he goes back out in the outfield. And then a ball got hit over his head and I just saw him put his head down and walk to the dugout. And then he said, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. And that was the end of his softball career in that specific moment.
So my moment is eerily similar to this, but injury with a different body part that I thought I could just shake off is we were playing in a flag football league and I made a jump, deflected a pass, was feeling good about myself, came down, and I was feeling less good about myself. I don't know if it was my groin in that moment or what, but I was like, oh, man. And so I did that thing where you just kind of like shake your legs and walk, like you're trying to walk it off. Took one more play and I started to run and I was like, holy freaking God.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to be subbed out of the game. And like, we hadn't been playing that long. And I was like, I should probably not do this anymore.
I do. Maybe the last real competitive one, Alec, was I was working in IT. We had our work got a soccer team together. And we played an indoor soccer league, and I was almost 30, I think. I don't know, something like that. And we played against Rockwall's state champion high school team that decided they were going to goof around. And they wiped wiped us all over the place.
That wasn't going to go the way you thought it would.
And at one point, this kid scored and started doing this dance, and I just took my shirt off and threw it on the ground. And they put me in the penalty box. And I just started yelling from the box, and I was like, I'm not playing the rest of this game. So just like, you know, in Mighty Ducks, when they started rioting and everything, I was just like, I'm sitting there pounding the walls and everything. And I was like, yeah, I'm done. Those kids, they can have the future. They're the future of America. Let them go be that.
This is my favorite story.
I wish there was video of this. I just want to see Corey's
probably. Yes. It was probably embarrassing to some other people, but I was having a great time.
So good.
That is freaking amazing.
From the 817, I blew out my right arm playing baseball, tried shifting to golf. And couldn't make that step before getting kicked out and had to get a regular job and stuff.
Oh, man.
I don't know why the and stuff makes it so much and better
stuff.
For me.
And stuff and things.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like talking about my kids. They recover so much faster from stuff. Sicknesses and stuff like that. And nowadays, I'm like, it takes me longer to recover. It takes me 2 or 3 days to get over. Like, if I had my muscles start getting stressed out, I'm like, oh, man.
Is that the same thing on a hangover?
Oh, man.
Not.
I think so. My hangovers later in life, far worse than my hangovers when I was younger.
Okay.
And maybe that's just because I'm older and thought, you know what, I'm experienced. I can finish this bottle of whiskey. Maybe that's why. And when I was younger, I wasn't that dumb, but maybe I was.
Yeah. Mine still aren't too terrible, but I don't go out nearly as much as I used to, like in college. So, you know, I probably haven't pushed myself as much as I used to. So I'm just going to confidently say that I don't get hungover very easily and leave it there. I hope Bobby Belt did not hear that.
I love all the scientists out there, though, that are trying to find hangover cures.
Yes.
And trying to create new pills and vitamins and drinks and stuff. Really appreciate the efforts.
I do appreciate those efforts, man.
Yeah, you should get a MacArthur Genius Grant to just try to investigate
exactly.
One of those.
Nobel Prizes.
Let's see, from the 432, I think my athletic career ended the day I was born.
Oh, did you see the person at 19? I was humbled by a 15-year-old girl who annihilated me in our Muay Thai class when I first started taking classes. I knew at that point I would not enjoy this hobby.
I took like an intro jujitsu class when I was like 16, I think. And it was just like for, you know, kids probably like 12 and up. And there was like 12-year-olds that were already breaking 5 stacks of the boards and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I got a lot of catching up to do. Yeah. And then I just stopped showing up. So I actually do have a follow up from yesterday's story. Brett Beatty used to wear Juan Soto's number for the Mets. He gave it up without contest for Juan Soto to have his original number that he's had since he debuted in MLB in 2018. The story got out that Juan Soto, as a thank you, got him like an $80,000, $90,000 SUV. And Brett Beatty was asked about it. He actually gives some fun context as to why Juan Soto said, yeah, you need a new car and how it actually happened.
I've been driving the car I drove in high school around for my whole career. And I come into spring training every single year and I'm like, I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to get a new car. Me, Mark, and Edgar are always like, what are you going to get? And I'm always like, probably something spacious, probably like a Tahoe or something like that. So Edgar kind of knew already. And then it was kind of fishy too. Edgar, like, he asked me for my car insurance yesterday. I was like, that's a little strange. So I figured something was coming, but I didn't expect that at all. That was amazing.
That is kind of awkward, isn't it? Like, you want to get someone a car, but then you got to think about the insurance side of it. So I like how real he was just like, give me your car insurance.
Yeah. I don't believe I've ever given out my car insurance just information to somebody who's just like, hey
just give me your car insurance.
And I'd be like, oh, okay. Why? Yeah, because I'm going to fake an accident with your name. Like, I don't know.
Just reaching my wallet real quick. You want the health insurance while you're at it, too? Here you go.
Did he go to Platinum Chevy for that? I think he probably should have.
He could have. He would have gotten a better deal.
Yeah, probably.
He did say a Tahoe.
Like it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Could the Deuce be on the loose next season? Next in The Fan.
We'll give it a Vaughn. Sweep left to the 10. Breaks a tackle 5. Turns right. And Deuce Vaughn dances into the end zone for the touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is indeed a shout-out Friday, but it's also Forgiveness Friday. We'll get to that a little bit later because some people think they might have cost us the win in the USA-Canada game
last night.
I know. We will get to that. In the meantime, right now, what say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Here we go.
Let's start with two quick hits. Tony Baselli said that I don't love this opinion as much. Said the Jaguars have a franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence and they need to build around him.
Okay.
Is it unfair for me to think he can't be a franchise quarterback anymore since it's been a tough year, or do you think you've seen enough thus far to be like, I mean, maybe he can, but I haven't seen it yet.
I still think he can.
Okay.
I think Jacksonville's a miserable organization. Sorry, Tony. I think it's just they screwed up his first year, and then they hired Doug Peterson, which looked like promising.
Yeah.
And he's saying build around him. Kevin, the receiver they first gave him was Christian Kirk, and they said, we're paying him like a top flight Justin Jefferson. And that's where you're like, hold on, what are they doing? This is smart by drafting Brian Thomas. Like, that was a really smart move last year because he's a legit number one receiver. Now you need to build the rest of the team around that. I agree. I think you give him a better team, he's a better player. But there have been some very poor decisions, so I understand where you're coming from there.
Now, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I'm in the camp that Aaron Rodgers should retire, but Aaron Rodgers says that some of the factors he considers in terms of playing next year, if and or where, are the team's quality and the desire for him. I imagine most people's desire to bring on Aaron Rodgers right now is pretty low.
Yeah.
And why would a good team want him as their quarterback?
You just nailed it. That team quality part of it is, if you're a good team and you're that close, just look at what just happened with the Jets. Watch the film. You're going to say, is my offensive line going to give him 7 seconds of protection every time and never fail? And also, do I want to bring in, if I have a young team right now, do I want to bring in a guy who kind of pushes his way around everybody?
Sure.
And makes it seem like that he's got control of it while I'm trying to build something. So I would say he's a miss for a lot of different organizations. I don't see a team that needs him right now. I really don't.
Here is an early look at the betting odds for the Offensive Player of the Year. Who do you think is the favorite for next year's NFL Offensive Player of the Year?
And that's going to be, I guess, Saquon Barkley?
Saquon Barkley is the clear number one, but who do you think is second?
Bijan Robinson.
Bijan Robinson is actually fifth.
Okay. Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry is fourth.
All right. Justin Jefferson. Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase is third.
Oh, my God.
Man, that is amazing.
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, crap. There goes my streak.
Is eighth. But by the way, you're really in the ballpark because Justin Jefferson is seven. So you've gotten 8, 7, 5, 4, 3, and 1. Number six, Puka Nacua. Number two, though, Jahmyr Gibbs for the Detroit Lions.
That's bad on my part. Because here I am as having been one of like championing Jahmyr Gibbs and just forgot that he was in that category.
Was that playoff loss you disavowed?
No, I just I guess he's forgotten a lot of times in these conversations because they just weren't there yet. But he really he stepped up on a stage that made everybody go, oh, that's what that dude is.
From the 469, Corey, I'm going to have to deal with this with you one time or another. Might as well be now. Is Kevin happy that his team won last night? All right. I want to make this very clear.
Yeah, Kevin's Russian.
I was rooting for the United States 100% all of the way. The only thing I said was perhaps do we need to consider that O Canada is better than our national anthem?
This was a discussion yesterday.
I didn't have a lot of support behind me.
Did Francis Scott Key write O Canada?
More like Francis Scott off key. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. Who's that to? Is he burned on that from like 200 plus years ago? I don't know who that was for. I apologize. Normally you dump curse words. I kind of think you should dump that. I don't know who that was for.
He can't even fight back on this one right now.
He can't.
I don't know, man. I think I'm biased. I think I'm biased to America on this one. I really, like, I like it. And you know what? If we take Canada over, we'll just steal their song, too. And be like, that's part of ours now.
Don't.
Just double it up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No. Look, man, I've had a long plan about taking Canada over. It's years that I've been putting this in since my 20s.
Okay.
So this isn't a new thing if somebody else is trying to do it.
Well, I want to let you know if, I actually really want to talk more about that, but if there is anybody out there who makes a Canada the 51st state and that just doesn't go through, the shirts are likely to go to the Ukraine, Mongolia, Georgia, the country, not the state, Estonia, and Latvia, because that is where the bulk of the Chiefs three-peat Super Bowl shirts have been sent.
They needed more shirts there.
Every year, the NFL sends the gear of the losing team to poor people in poor nations worldwide that are in need. Because if you ever wondered, like, how the hell do they have all this stuff ready? Well, guess what? They make it for both teams, and they have to send the other stuff somewhere else.
Well, I'm glad that people have shirts.
That
they can rip off in the middle of a soccer game and throw on the ground and get ejected for. If that's what they choose to use their shirt for.
Right, I like it.
Let's talk about Deuce Vaughn. So Deuce Vaughn has made little to absolutely zero impact thus far with the Cowboys. Fair to say?
Yep.
All right.
And that's unfortunate considering, like, go look at his numbers in college. Yeah.
Okay.
He racked up big numbers.
And who was his offensive coordinator in college? Connor Riley. And he is now the offensive line coach with the Dallas Cowboys. So this could be a stretch, but I just wanted to kind of throw it out there as an idea. Do you think that Riley's philosophy, in addition to the team, could kind of implement some stuff that was happening at Kansas State that made them so successful?
Okay. All right. So that's interesting that you say that, because I thought you were going to say could help Deuce Vaughn's career, like that, implement him more.
Yeah, maybe.
Listen, if you don't follow Brian Broaddus, you should. Just to watch him stomp down other people. But even still, like, that's just funny in my opinion.
That's true.
If you think it's rude, whatever, that's fine. But the way, like, one of the things somebody said something about Jenty and Zeke as a pass blocker, and he added, I would never take Jenty off the field. So if you're thinking he's going to be a Cowboy and you're saying, hey, what's this offense going to look like? That offense at Kansas State was really good with Deuce Vaughn there. So I don't think Deuce would get all those carries, but if they had Jenty, that could be very explosive.
And that's just kind of why I was curious about it. Cause think about it. People are like, oh, the Cowboys have a starting running back. They don't have a backup running back either.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in Deuce Vaughn.
Right.
So that's why I'm just
curious. You're saying they have to draft two?
Do not think it would be the worst thing in the world to take a running back in the second or third round and then take another running back in the seventh round or as a top-notch undrafted free agent.
What about the first round and then maybe another one in the fifth? You have like 85 fifths.
That's true, but because of what y'all said earlier, I have to replace the entirety of the right side of my offensive line now. So we have a lot of work to do with this
TJ
team.
TJ Bass, I'm going to be all right.
Okay.
Or Brock Hoffman.
But now
I think Bass is on the other side.
The beauty of winning the Super Bowl, though, because that's the goal we're trying to make happen, is you get unbelievable gifts afterwards. An aquarium has named a baby penguin after Saquon Barkley. The Adventure Aquarium named the penguin Saquon after the Super Bowl triumph, and because they have the same birthday, the penguin was born on the day of the Super Bowl. Is there a specific animal you would want named after you?
I would love to have a lion named after me. That would be okay. Dope to have, like, if Dallas Zoo, if you're listening right now. Actually, I got this awesome dog named Majors. Dallas,
need to get him adopted.
Services, so that's where you want to check that out. But yeah, Dallas Zoo, if you're listening right now and you're like, you know what? We want to name our next baby lion Majors or Corey. I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah.
Penguins kind of freak me out.
They do?
Yeah, because I watch too much Penguins of the Madagascar and like seeing how those act. I feel like they're doing shady stuff behind the scenes that I don't get to see.
Interesting.
You ever been freaked out by penguins before?
I can't say that I have, but
they just jump in the water and they jump out and they're like, hey, life's fine. It's freezing in that water, dude.
I guess I have not given this the appropriate amount of thought necessary.
That being said, what was the movie where they kind of, it was the documentary style and Shia LaBeouf was the character? That one was a good one. Out Cold. It was a penguin documentary, but not March of
with
the Penguins.
With Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah. Yes. Somebody's got to know this. Somebody has to know this.
I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with that.
You're kidding me. There was a song that was played and they were dancing. No, that was Happy Feet. Somebody text in. What was the documentary style penguin cartoon movie? Thank you for your
okay.
Efforts.
We will.
Surf's Up.
Surf's Up. Love that one. So good. I love it. Kevin, have you seen it?
I don't think I have.
You need to watch it with Noah tonight.
It's solid.
When you get home, watch it with Noah. It's fun.
I can vouch.
Thank you.
And then my wife will be like, what brought this up? Well, Corey said he's freaked out about penguins.
Yep.
And then we'll go from there. With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
Sir, thank you very much, all the Tolos that are texting that in.
Besides closer, what's your biggest Rangers concern heading into spring training? Closer. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.